Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Whole bunch of people in the YouTube chat right now. It is not a happy place. In about a half hour, we're going to open these phone lines up.
We'll do
phones for the rest of the day. But right now, I'm fired up to get to the Rude guest hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. On a night where we saw a receiver get honored in Art Monk, now we get to talk to one of the best to do it in burgundy and gold, Mr. Santana Moss. He was there last night. Tana, that it was an ugly, ugly night. How you doing, man?
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
We got you, dude. Santana, you there, bud?
Let Jeff try to get it hooked up.
All right. Let me put Tana on hold, and we'll see what we can figure out. I can only imagine. How was your guys' show last night?
It was different. It was different. But there were some fans still come around. And listen, man, it's a lot of people. This is what I learned last night. Yes, you're going to have the people with the vitriol, but there are people that truly, truly give a damn about this team still.
If you give a damn, it's okay to be vitriolic.
No, they want answers. They want to hear solutions. Some people just hide behind avatars and just spit fire all day. You're not allowed to do that. The people that come and face you and say something, that's the people that you want to have a discussion with.
Santana, you there, bud?
I'm here. What's good, fellas?
What's up, T?
Tana, I didn't get to see you last night. We'll get to the Jaden stuff, but let's just talk about the overall performance of that team. It was terrible. What did you see as that game unfolded?
Oh, man. I've seen the same thing I've been seeing the last few weeks, man. We just ain't hitting like we've been hitting before. And I think what me and B have talked about before, man, and even Fred and Logan, you know, when we're doing our shows with Command Center, you know, when you have a few guys that you basically say, hey, these are the guys that we're going to go with, whether they're, veterans or not, but these guys are going to be the makeup of our offense and defense, and then those guys go down, you will hope that the guys behind them could kind of like fill in that void. And it just hasn't been the case for us this year. Our second and third guys, because we have a lot of guys injured. Each and every week it seems like it's a new guy that's getting injured. But most teams have that backup or that third guy that can say, you know what, we can still plug and play and go out there and play the same kind of football. But that's not the case for us, man. And when you kind of going through that and you kind of see it now, because each week you feel like, okay, this week, you know, maybe something's going to change next week. And now we understand that we just can't do the same things, you know, schematically with those guys. So I think we've got to find a way to change, man, and kind of just, you know, I guess you could say, navigate, you know, a better plan amongst the guys that we got out there playing.
Tana, you played the receiver position at a really high level. When you watch what opposing offenses are doing to this Washington secondary, what do you see? Because, damn, it seems like these quarterbacks and receivers are getting what they want.
Yeah, it's odd, man, because at times I see good coverage. I see guys right there and just other guys making plays. And then at times I see we're trying to run something that the only way you can do that, because I used to tell me and D-Hall used to talk a lot when we was playing. I was like, D-Hall, I watched the Patriots play us. And D-Hall was one of the most, I think, underrated cornerbacks when it comes to just how he can, you know, cover you man to man, but also, man, he had those instincts where he can make plays on the ball. And I watched D-Hall cover Wes Welker for like five routes, in which he shouldn't have been covering him that long. Somebody should have got home and sacked the quarterback by then.
Uh-huh.
But I bring up this because if you don't put the pressure on the quarterback, the guy can have a second, the third, or fourth, or fifth opportunity. There's no way in hell you can ask that defensive back, that cornerback, to still stay in coverage or still be sticky, you know, with that coverage. So what I'm seeing at times, we're running different things that we have to hit home. We have to get to that quarterback, and we don't. And we leave our cornerbacks, we leave our DBs out there in a situation where they can't win. They just can't win. And you're not seeing a lot of these guys running second and third options like we saw Kansas City last night. It was just, you know, three-step, five-step, and boom. You know what I mean? Like Sam Darnold was on one, and we knew that coming to the game. The whole thing that we said leading into the game is we got to get Sam Darnold rattled. We got to get him to go to his second and third and fourth read. And you didn't see that at all last night. Last night, he dropped back and did what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it.
We talk a lot about complimentary football, and I think people automatically assume we're talking about offense, defense. But secondary coverage and also pass rush, that's complimentary football too. And I know the secondary is what's out there, and they get blamed more. But hell, the pass rush and the D line had not been doing their job to even help those guys out in the secondary. How did they get more pressure?
That's a great question. I think, you know, some of the things that we talked about each and every week is disguising some things, bringing guys from, you know, from depth with blitzes and, you know, things of that nature. But I think also, man, like you see this defense at times bend but don't break. And then you say, okay, we can live with that. But then, like you just talked about the complimentary part of it, offensively, we don't go out there and do our job. So it's just collectively, man, we got to find a way. You know, fortunately, you know, me and you not having to be in those meeting rooms dialing up and calling up plays, you know, that's Joe Wiz and Dan and all those guys' job, man. But, you know, when you're a former player and you're a guy that's now covering this team and speculating, you know, you could just hope that those guys have an answer. And I think eventually they will. You know, we teamless, man. We're going to ride with these guys regardless, you know, good or bad. But I just want to see a better product because I think it all falls back on, you know, you individually as players. You know, we can sit there and talk about the coaches all we want. We can sit there and talk about the scheme all we want. But you out there on the field, man. And like I was always told, on every level of this game, whether it was high school, whether it was little league, high school, you know, college or pros, you got to make a play. And regardless of what it is, you know, I remember, man, me and Sean Taylor was talking one night, leaving from a game, and we sat next to each other on the plane, and he kept trying to get me to talk. Tanner, talk to me, man. What's up, man? What's going on? And I was quiet. I didn't want to say anything. We had just lost to the Rams, and then I kind of got out my little feeling bad for myself and started telling him what was going on. I'm like, man, I'm out there. I'm open. They ain't throwing the ball. And defensively, it's different because you don't have to wait on a guy to throw you the ball. You don't have to wait on a guy to give you a chance to be in the game. And Sean said, man, you know what, man? Coach had me covering this tight end this way all week in practice, and I kept telling him it's not going to work. It's not going to work. He said, I get in the ball game. He tell me the same thing in the middle of the play. Get inside. I'm like, it's not going to work. He said, you know what I did? I said, screw that. I'm going to do it the way I do it, and I got to make sure I prove to him that it's going to work. And he made the play. And he said, when he came to the sideline, the coach looked at him and said, great way to make a play. And see, that's what we have to do sometimes as players. You gotta kind of overcome coaching, man, and go out there and say, hey, if this is going to be a better way, let me go out there and make a play and make a difference and be the difference of us getting off this field.
That's the exact same thing I've been saying. You know, like, you as a player, you do it so often. And I think when you go through practice, that's what you do. Practice is to figure out what the hell works and what doesn't. And if it doesn't work in practice, it probably won't work in the game, because in practice, there's a card that's set up for you to have a defense to stop something or whatever. But when you get in the game, if you know it didn't work in the game, you have to be savvy enough and invested in your craft enough to be able to make that change. And that's why I kind of like when people say the scheme. Sometimes guys play in the same scheme and have success, and another guy come in and does exactly what the scheme said, and he don't have a lot of success. And I feel those players got to take ownership in this thing just as much.
Yeah, you also got to think about it too, man. Earlier this year, you know, I remember Joe Witt mentioning that there's certain things that is being called, and guys are just going out their way and doing their own thing. So it goes both ways.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? So, you know, I can't just sit here and take the player side and say, well, you know, if he got you in a bad situation, then go out and make a play. But it also, you know, if that coach puts you in a situation where he's saying, you know, I need you here because it's going to work. It's going to benefit, you know, the entire, you know, big picture of what we're trying to do defensively. Then as a player, you got to do that.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, you hear coaches bringing up, you know, in those presses, communication. They're not saying that for nothing. Because if you're sitting there watching the game, you see these guys talking to each other entirely too long at times. And you're like, well, eventually somebody got to know something and go play. We can't be still talking while this guy's in his count and thinking that we're going to be able to turn our heads around now and drop back and be ready for what's going on. So, you know, it's something got to give, man. But like I said before, it's a long season still. Regardless of what we've been going through, it's a dark cloud over us right now with so many injuries. And then it just feel like it just don't get no better. You know, we're talking about, you know, some of the things that we saw last night when it comes to, you know, Jaden and you name it, Marshawn Lattimore. That's been our season. Guy after guy after guy going down. So these other guys are getting the opportunities. Go out there and make a name for yourself. Go out there and show this team or somebody that you're worthy enough of being out there. And we've seen a lot of that already, but we just haven't seen that many guys step up and rise up to those opportunities.
Talking with our friend Santana Moss, Washington, great at wide receiver. You can watch him and B on the pre and post game on the Commanders' social media and YouTube channels. You can follow Santana on Instagram at 8 to the 9. Tana joining us via the Rude guest hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Tana, you mentioned it there with Jaden. Obviously, this was a lost game in the second half. Jaden Daniels, down 31, was still on the field, you know, late in the fourth quarter, gets injured. We now know it's a dislocated elbow. We'll see what that looks like. We'll see if he's headed to IR. What did you make of Jaden being on the field in that situation?
You know, I thought none of it, JP. I mean, I can see both sides of it, man. Players play, you know. Jaden has been a guy that went out there last year with broken ribs, you know, and regardless of if we knew they was broken or not, he went out there with bruised ribs and still gave us his all. Players play the game. I understand how people look at it and say, well, you know, it's over. We should have took him out because he just came back. Yeah, but, you know, if he finished that game and doesn't get hurt, man, we say, well, at least we got him in a full game that he can be ready to go against Detroit next week. You know, it's damn if you do, damn if you don't. I find it odd because you understand where we're at when you start hearing people kind of be disappointed or now they want to point the finger. Well, let's stop pointing the finger, man. At the end of the day, we're not getting paid to call no plays or make decisions of who should be out there or not. All we can do is watch the game and cheer this team on. I hear so much before games from other people who's covering this team. They put so much out there about, well, if this happened, whether this happened, it's almost like you're expecting it to happen. And then when it happens, now we're sitting there like, wow. You know what I mean? So players play football. I've been around this game for so long, man, as a player and now as an analyst. That's why I never listened to that crap, because I understand at the end of the day, it's about me. It's about me handling my business. And wherever, whatever they say, I'm going to let them say it because they're getting paid to say it. And for the ones who don't get paid to say it, they're going to say it because they're not optimistic or they don't have belief. And so with awards, those who don't have belief, that's one of the ones you find that say, hey, I sold my season tickets because I don't want to be a part of this franchise. And then now they're back. I know I went on a little too long with it, man, but it's just
how
I feel, man. It's something that me and B both kind of discussed, you know, last night about it, man. Just, you know, I understand how you feel as a fan base. I understand we went through a whole lot. Y'all been through a lot. So allow these teams, allow these players to go out there and do what they're paid to do. And let's just sit back and cheer them on. That's all we can do.
Well, I think, because B kind of echoed your sentiments earlier, it's interesting to hear from guys that played the game at a high level not have the same questions about Jaden being out there, whereas I think there's a, certainly in the fan base, and I'd say the media, like the non-former player media, there's a pretty big consensus that Jaden shouldn't have been out there. Where I think if Jaden was having just a regular season, you keep him in the game, right? But because he's already missed time and dealt with injuries, I think to me, what bothered me most was they punt to start the fourth quarter down 31-7. So if you're punting in the fourth quarter with that big of a deficit, you're already capitulating. You're already kind of surrendering this ball game. And if that's the case.
But not necessarily, though, JP. I don't really think that's telling you that it's over. That's just telling you that let's give our defense a chance to fight still. You know, like, honestly, you're playing the game. Like, you think I'm going to sit back there and go for it now, put my defense in harm's way and allow this team to, who's been willing and dealing, who's having missed. That guy was 21 for 24. So if I don't punt and I throw my defense back out there, now they backs against the wall again, that's an easy layup for a quarterback that hasn't missed. So that's how I look at it. You know, but like I said, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
You have the right to do so.
Well, you're making fair points, too.
If he doesn't get hurt, we're not talking about this right now. We're not having the same sentiment. So that's why I'm like, hey, players play. Sometimes that's the way the cookie crumbles. Now I'm happy that it's nothing worse than what it is. But that's how football happens. And to add to it, man, it's just not about JD. It's not about Jaden Daniels. This entire team has been going down left and right, week after week. So regardless of our quarterback going down, everybody is going down. Something has to give.
Totally. Leaving that game last night, what are you more concerned by? Let's remove the injuries, specifically the Jaden situation. Offensively, they have no identity, and defensively, they cannot get stops. What do you think can improve? What do you think is the bigger problem?
I mean, I think right now, and it's easy for me to sit here. Like I said before, man, I don't sit in those rooms, and I don't have that luxury of saying this or that, you know, for what we need to do. But I just think everybody got to keep chopping wood. And I say this so much. I know people are tired of me saying it, but that's what it's about, brother. I'm sure, you know, coaching-wise, they will probably tighten up some things here and there. But, you know, right now I think you have too much film now to look at and say, this is what we can do and this is what we can't do. You know what, that's nine weeks in football, and if we've been doing anything that we've been doing before and it hasn't worked, we're going to have to scrap it. And I think that's the way you got to move forward. But also, with all that being said, you know, it's still a lot of football left, but at the same time, you still want to win games. I think you have to look at your roster and say, okay, now I have to look at some of these other guys and see who I have here so I can know what I have going forward. I mean, that just, to me, that's common sense. I think for the guys who hasn't played, but the guys who showed you, who flashed here and there, whether it's on the practice field or whether it's on special teams or whether it's just, you know, period throughout the time you had them here, you have to find a way to get them involved because, man, we got to put the best people on the field so we can see the best product, and that's what we got to do going forward.
Tana, I appreciate you making time for us, dude. I know it's a pretty miserable day, and thank you.
No doubt, brother.
All right, G. Be cool, brother.
All right. That's our guy, Santana Moss. It is very interesting to hear the player's perspective on Jaden playing in that situation. All right, the time has come. Phone lines are going to be open. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. It is a Misery Monday presented by Chiniga Mayos, a 2025 top workplace. Visit careerswithmayos.com. Hit us up. Blame pie time. There is a lot of blame to go around for that loss last night. Washington got throttled on their home field in a nationally televised game. Your chance to weigh in. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
All right, let's head out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We welcome in Von Miller from your Washington Commanders. Good morning, Von. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
We're doing well. So the $64,000 question is, were you guys giving Dan Quinn the side eye post game after he left Jaden Daniels in our opinion, a lot of people's opinion, too long in a game that was out of hand against the Seahawks?
No, I was paying attention to the game, and you know, I just hearing the lingo on the sideline. They were saying at the beginning of the drive, like, this is the last one that everybody was going to get. So hindsight is always 20/20, but you know, it was just a tough situation all the way around. It was still some time left on the clock. You know, the guys wanted to go out there, and unfortunately, you know, Jaden ended up getting hurt.
What'd you think of Seattle's offense? First drive, they just march it right down on you. Happened again in the second drive. Darnold has an amazing half. What were your impressions of that offense?
Yeah, they're very effective. Just a solid unit all the way around.
I want to ask you a hard question, Vaughn. I know you've been super supportive. I know you love the staff. You've said week after week, you've said how impressed you are with the guys and everything. What are the just give us insight, because we're not there. What are the consequences, though, like when we keep having these kinds of games like this? I'm sure they're harder on you. I'm sure they're extra analyzing things. But can you give us any insight into what it's like as a player in, when you're going through a situation like this? Because it seems like from afar, just the same stuff keeps happening. And we're bringing the same guys out. I mean, it's kind of who you got. You play who you got. But, like, what are the consequences? Like, how are the guys buckling down on you guys? What's it been like the last month or so?
You know, whenever, especially on a football team, whenever I'm hit with adversity or tight situations like this, I always look at me, like, what is my contribution to this? Like, mm-hmm. how do I fix it? And I try to, you know, get everybody to see it from their perspective. Mm-hmm. And if we all can see it from that perspective, we'll be able to get it fixed. You know, it's simple, you know, solutions to, you know, complex things. And I always just try to, like, look at me. What am I doing? How am I contributing to this? What can I do better? And, you know, that's the perspective that I like to go about things.
You know, because Coach has been saying that, you know, it comes from within. The answer's from within, you know? And I understand what he's saying, but I just don't see any changes. So, but you kind of agree with that. Like, the answer's from within. It's the little things. You got to break it down to the smallest details, the smallest edge. We got to make sure that we're taking advantage of every edge, that sort of thing. That's what he keeps preaching. You agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, they don't have to be the smallest thing. Like I said, sometimes it's just simple things. Like, it's you know, we'll be able to get, you know, some guys healthy, you know, that'll help mm-hmm. Play more efficiently from an individual standpoint, you know, that'll help. You know, there are no magic calls. There is no magic defense and no magic offense. You know, like I said, I always start with myself. Like, how can I contribute more? What am I doing wrong? Is there anything that I could do better? And it always is. That answer is always yes.
Mm-hmm. So what are those things this week that Von Miller can do better to help this team win?
I always like to start at practice in the film room. You know, I like to get in there and get a good lift in, get a solid workout, make sure, you know, my recovery's right. It starts with practice. You know, let me get some run plays. Let me get some pass plays to kind of build up that confidence around the guys that I could play a little bit, that I could play more in the game, that I could do more. And yeah, that's where it starts with me. It starts at practice, contributing more and just building up the confidence and the coaches and my teammates that I could do more.
How often do you find yourself? I've never seen it. You know, I don't know. I know nothing, but. How often do you find yourself as a professional that, you know, you're human, that you lose focus, though? You find yourself, you know, you're a human being. Maybe you play too many video games or something and your brain just wired weird. But, like, you lose focus at times in practice or in games. Is that even a thing? Does that ever happen?
Our structure, you know, here at with the Commanders is so, you know, efficient. Like you said, you know, all humans struggle with consistency.
Right.
For me personally, I practice one day out of the week, so it's easy for me to have that laser focus on each and every play or each and every meeting. So, like I said, that's my perspective. So,
right. is that something new here in Washington versus when you were in Buffalo or with the Rams or with Denver?
No, I think just starting around 29, I started to get, you know, lighter workloads, maybe even earlier than that. I remember year five with Coach Kubiak with the Denver Broncos and having a day on, day off in training camp. So I've always had like a easier load. And I mean, this is my 15th year in the league, so it's
working.
It's definitely needed.
Hey, Vaughn, right. Can you recall being on a team in either college or the NFL that's had the injury run like the one you're seeing with the Commanders right now? I mean, it's scary.
Man, I'm sure I have. I have had, you know, teams like this. But, you know, 15 years in, all I can remember is recent years. You know, it's always, you know, some tough injuries. But I do not you know, remember off my recent memory, you know, as many tough injuries that we've had to as many star players.
Right. It's been brutal. What about bringing Witt down? I know you guys all like him, respect him, and you guys, you know, no problems with the staff at all. What kind of, how does that bring a different perspective? What's your perspective on having your D coordinator on the field versus being up in a box?
You know, the communication is right there. You can just ask questions. You can check and see what's going on right there.
So it's helpful. You know, so you like it.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I mean, I play with the defensive coordinator up and I had success, and I play with the defensive coordinator down on the field and have success. Both ways, I've won a Super Bowl. So it's, you know, you can have success, you know,
right,
either way it goes.
Right.
What are you guys going to
do? But obviously, we got to make a change. Obviously, you know, we got to do something. Obviously, you know, we searching for, you know, some type of, you know, lift, and to keep doing the same thing is not the answer. So I like the change, and hopefully it'll be able to give us a spark.
Well, what was said, I don't know how much you can tell me here, but what was said at halftime of this game when you guys were down, you know, big, 31-7, I believe. What was said?
Oh, you know, me, I'm always I just got to pulse on the energy. I'm a huge energy guy. Like, you don't want guys to come in there with the rah-rah. Come on, guys, we can do it. We can still do this thing. Like, let's get out. Like, you know, you got to be based in reality. Like,
right.
You know, we're down 28 points at half. Like, and the reality of it is we haven't played our best game. You know, let's go out here and play. Let's play our best. Let's play as best as we possibly can and see what happens. You know, I like living in that neutral space. You know, I always like to have an optimistic view and a positive view on life, but in some situations, based on reality, you got to downshift to neutral. Never negative, though. Never go to negative way.
We specialize in negative here. Yeah, that's kind of our thing, Bob.
He can't as a player.
Yeah, that's kind of our thing.
No,
that's
I like
okay.
that,
You stay
though.
Positive.
But it's like, it's kind of like my daughter plays volleyball. Nobody cares. But if it's like you're down 24-15, you know you're not going to probably win the set, but you want to try to win a few more points. Stay positive.
Stay competitive.
It's kind of that vibe.
Yvonne, I'm curious, personnel-wise, on this Commanders defense, who's impressed you the most that maybe you didn't know that much about?
Jacob Martin. I knew a lot about Jacob Martin, but, you know, seeing the way that he goes about his business every day, man, you know, he's definitely impressed me. And then getting to know him on a personal level, man, like, that's one of my guys. I've been knowing him for a long time, but I feel like we closer than that. You know, it's just some guys that you have those bonds with and that you just impressed with. And, you know, Deron Payne and Javon Kinlaw, like, those are guys in the middle. Like, those are star guys.
Mm-hmm.
Been super impressed with those guys. You know, Bobby Wagner and Frankie, man, and it's tough to lose Frankie to a suspension like that. But, you know, all the guys in the middle, man, I've been impressed with all those guys.
So with Frankie being suspended for these hip drop tackles, that means McGee's going to play more. Fill us in on his game.
McGee is very, very capable. He's been playing, you know, a lot lately. We've been moving Frankie down to play defensive end, and you can see it. Like, he's a star. He's a star in the making. He's fast. He's athletic. He runs. He hits. You know, he knows the defense. You know, he can rush the passer, too. We had some plays in training camp where he was rushing the passer, and he was extra bendy. And, you know, so he's got a little bit of everything in him. And, you know, he's more than capable. Obviously, you want Frankie out there, but, you know, Jordan, he's more than capable of picking up all the slack.
Hey, Vaughn, I'm wondering what kind of guy you are in a sense that, you know, I know you have routines and, you know, you're all about getting your body right and you're locked in and your family's in Texas and you're here and you're all about it. Are you the kind of guy that, like, when you think about stuff and you're watching film, maybe at home, like, you text the D coordinator, hey, I just thought maybe we should try this, or you stay in your lane and you just do what you're told?
I believe in having a sense of ownership in what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love being around guys that have a sense of ownership in what we do. At the same time, having ownership, but picking up the trash too. And I'm, And I'm saying it literally and figuratively. Like guys, they just care so much about what we doing and having ownership in what we doing. And for me, you know, I'm not the defensive coordinator, but that's the way I look at the game. Like, I'm not the head coach, but that's the way I look at the game. I'm not the GM, but that's the way I look at the game. I'm not, you know, the inside linebacker or the defensive tackle, but that's the way I look at the game. So if there's anything that needs to be said from any of those perspectives, I've never been, you know, shy in saying it. And, you know, it's been tough because, you know, there really isn't much that has needed to be said. Like, and I feel like, you know, it's just a tough situation for all these guys. In my opinion, I felt like we have been doing, you know, everything that we needed to do to get these wins. Like, before that Chiefs game, you couldn't tell me that we were going to lose that game. And, you know, that was the same thing versus the Seahawks. You know, everybody had us ready to go. We were more than prepared for that game. We recovered for that game. Like I said, we were mentally prepared, physically prepared, emotionally prepared. DQ does a good job of raising the morale and the spirit of the core and, you know, having us ready to go. I'm not sure what the disconnect is between the time that we run out in the locker room at the stadium and actually playing the game. Mm-hmm. Because everything up until that point, we are more than prepared for whatever the task is.
Vaughn, just to shift topics a little bit, the last time you came on, you gave us a Von Miller Netflix recommendation. Now, you did say that you were falling asleep in A House of Dynamite. I got to tell you, I watched it. First 20 minutes, thought was really good. And then it's one of those movies where they do the same scenes from a different perspective, and mm-hmm. it just got repetitive to me. So I get why you fell asleep.
It still was a good movie, though. And they did it all without actually showing things blowing up or, like, without ever getting to those scenes. So at the end,
yeah,
like, it kind of leaves you what actually happened.
You got to interpret it.
I love movies with those type of dynamics and dimensions like that.
What are you going to watch today?
Hopefully the Lions film. That's what I'll be watching. I'll throw that in there.
Oh boy. Here we go.
No, I mean, you gotta have a life. You gotta have a life too. I mean, I watch film, and but at the same time, I'm always gonna have time for me.
Me too, brother. You know, I'm with you. I got a lot of leisure time.
You guys should hang out.
Over to sauna. I got a new sauna, buddy. You're gonna love it.
No, I wouldn't call it leisure. Like, this is my life, and getting ready for the Lions is the most important and the priority. But at the same time, like, I gotta. You know, I'm gonna have a couple 15 minutes, 20 minutes, maybe an hour here to myself. And you know, I haven't really even looked. I know Apple TV and Netflix, they've been lacking a little bit. I do start my the very first episode of my podcast today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Free Range with Von Miller. It's gonna be on the Odyssey app as well. And you can get it wherever you get your podcast at, from nice. Spotify.
Who do you do it with?
It's just me.
Oh.
And it's a play on it's free range. It's a play on my chicken farm. But, you know, we're free range about all topics. Obviously, this football season right now, so we'll start there. Start with, you know, huge topics around the league. Obviously, my perspective on playing with the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a huge one as well, and then we'll be able to drift off to other topics as well.
Yvonne, have you ever had infighting like what's happening with the Bengals, where, you know, they're giving up over 40 points per game? Chase Brown after the game is calling out the defense. We just need to get a stop.
Oh boy,
that's not good.
Whenever you go to the media, there is no win in that situation. When I go to the media and I start pointing fingers, like what Tua did, a couple of weeks ago, and mm-hmm. you know, Chase Brown. Whenever it gets to that situation, it's like me and my brother. We get into it, and you go and tell mom, you know what I'm saying? It's like you don't want to get more eyes on the situation than what's needed. And anything that can be said in front of the media, I can say in the locker room, or I can say in the team meeting. So that's just my perspective on that, man. And I have seen infighting,
like I seen my teammates fight on the field, like throwing blows, like on the field before the play, and you know, the other team looking like what's going on, and the ref is actually looking like what's going on. Do I throw a flag on this? Like, but I've seen it, man. And 15 years in, you see a little bit of everything, and that's gonna happen, man. You just got to be able to ground yourself and reset.
Right. Well, listen, I know you only have like 15 or 20 minutes every day to chill, but if you ever have about 6 hours and you want to go to the club with me, you want to hit the sauna, you want to lift weights,
hit some golf balls,
you
want to
play about 18, then we'll sit down and have a nice dinner, maybe a cigar.
Pickleball.
Yeah, then, you know, go home, chill. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
I appreciate the offer, but probably not.
Probably smart.
I'm not surprised.
We're basically strangers to you. All right, Vaughn, thanks again.
I can meet you in Leesburg for happy hour, though.
Best of luck against the Lions. We'll talk to you again next week.
I appreciate you, guys.
All right, thank you,
it's
buddy.
Vaughn Miller from your nice Washington guy. Commanders on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. When we come back, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see the Caps. Also, a pair of tickets to go see Iron Maiden. So keep listening for your chance to win. It's coming up next.
Ja'Cory, thanks for the time, man. It's Grant and Danny. How you been?
I'm good. How you doing? I've been good.
We are well, so give us an idea of how you spend your Tuesdays for people.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
People that don't know, Tuesdays are the off day in the NFL, so you guys typically don't have to go into the facility. So today, what have you been up to all day?
So today, I mean, we're off, but I still got up early, you know, went, got me a lift in, and just to move my body. And today, did some community service, and I've pretty much been chilling ever since. So I had a productive day at the beginning, and then I just, like, calmed it down towards the end.
Yeah, that's well-deserved, my friend. What were you doing in the community, man? Tell people what you were up to.
We was helping feed people at the homeless shelter. So, like, just passing out food, washing clothes, and, you know, just hanging out.
Is that something you do every week? Because I didn't know about that. Obviously, you're not doing it. What's that?
It was the event that the rookies had.
Okay, so all the rookies went over
there. That's great, man.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned getting a lift. Do you go to the facility for that, or do you lift at your house, or do you go to the gym? What do you do?
Just go to the facility.
And are a lot of guys in there lifting on an off day still, or is it just you and a few others?
Yeah, it's a lot of guys come in just to move their bodies.
How different is it? Oh, sorry, Jaquari, I didn't mean to cut you off, but how different is it when, you know, you're, I don't want to say you're used to it, but you're playing at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then the schedule's a little bit different. You play that primetime game or a nighttime game. How different is that to kind of get yourself ready, get your body ready, and then, you know, the recovery? How different is it?
It's definitely different. You just have to, like, we have 1 p.m. games, you get up, and it's basically you eat breakfast and it's time to go play football. But night games, you have to, like, stretch things out. You have to wait a little bit longer. You have more time at the hotel. So you just have to, like, be a lot more calmer and like, focus until it's time to play, which is at nighttime. So it's a big difference.
Jaquari Kroski-Merritt is with us on Grant and Danny. We're joined by Bill every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Bill, really tough injury for Jaden Daniels this past weekend. He's trying to score. He gets tackled. Elbow dislocation. We're still awaiting word on how long he'll be out. But just give us an idea of kind of the emotions on the sideline, on the field, when he suffered that injury, and your conversations with Jaden since.
It's always tough when someone goes down on the field and have an injury. But I mean, it was heartbreaking, and like we just here to, like, just lift him up and let him know that he'll be back, and it's just, you know, just a little adversity he had to go through, and he's a strong human being, so I know he'll be able to get over it and just move on, because that's the only thing he can do right now is. And just look forward and go through the process.
What's it like on the field and on the sideline when any teammate, you know, kind of goes down with that kind of injury, and then once they're off, it's like, okay, now we got to go to the next play. How hard is that to kind of mentally lock back in?
Well, you just gotta hope it's not that bad, and just pray that he'll be able to pray that somebody, whoever the injury is, having to, like, can be back out there. But, like, yeah, it's kind of weird just having to move on and knowing that someone's, like hurt really bad, and, like, just try to act like nothing happened, like, especially, like, just going to the next play. But, I mean, that's how it is. Like, I mean, we can't, like, just end the whole game. You just got to keep going. It's definitely weird, though.
Yeah, and you could tell the oxygen, and it just sucked out of the whole stadium. I mean, fans, the whole demeanor changes, especially with somebody like Jaden, not to make light of all the other injuries, but it's just so much different when it's a guy who everybody's rocking the jersey. Bill, mm-hmm. How about, it's four straight losses now, and the last three of them have been by 20 or more. So this is not an easy thing for a team to go through. I mean, this has been a really rough stretch. How is the demeanor? Can you tell around the guys in the locker room, like, that things are going badly? And what kind of confidence do you have that you guys are close to getting out of this?
We definitely know things are going how we wanted to. I mean, that's very obviously, but, I mean, this is the time that we gotta stick together the most. And I feel like that's what's going on. Because if we don't, it's just gonna be worse than what it is. We just got to stop the bleeding and and just go forward, because it can be way worse. Like we can just stop caring now, and it'd be 100 times worse than what it is right now. So I feel like guys in the locker room definitely know, like, we can't give up now just because things aren't going our way. We still got a lot of fight, and we got 8 more guaranteed games. So it's just going to show how much heart we have, and I know we have a lot of.
Bill, it's your first go around here as a rookie. The trade deadline came and went. What's that like? Just sort of, you know, leading up to it, where I'm sure you guys, you know, you got Twitter or whatever, and there are rumors that are always kind of flying around. What was your first trade deadline like? No moves are made. The group that was you've gotten to know in your room or in the locker room rather is the same group. But what was your first trade deadline like?
I honestly don't. I try to stay off Twitter right now. And I honestly don't know nothing about the trade deadline. I really don't know how it works. I'm still learning the business.
Yeah.
But, so.
Well, I'm glad you weren't paying any attention.
Because no one got traded. You guys are good.
I hope they didn't trade Cousin, Bill.
Nah, Cousin, he's right here.
Okay, good. So he didn't get traded. How mad was he? You said he was mad about the Chiefs game. He must have been really mad about the Seahawks game.
Hey, I haven't changed.
No, but Cousin, after the Seahawks game, what was his reaction when you got home?
Just he like act like he didn't see me.
Ignored you like a cat.
Oh no!
Yeah.
I mean, Cousin's gonna do. He's gonna be like the crazy guy on the news that like doesn't shave his beard until y'all win. Cousin's not gonna. He's not gonna cuddle with you on the couch until you get a touchdown again, Bill.
Yeah, I'm definitely starving for the end zone.
Let's do it this weekend
for the end zone. I'm starving for everything.
All right, Detroit. How about a 2-touchdown game from Jacory Cross?
Two touchdown game with a win, that'll like just brighten my whole like it'll be amazing.
And Cousin will be giving you licks and hanging out.
Yeah, he'll be back with me.
That's so great. Dude, you're the best, buddy. Always appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
All right, appreciate you.
Thank you, Bill. See you, buddy. There's Jacory Kroski Merritt with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. High noon in the District of Columbia, and we are excited to jump on the Rood guest hotline. Rood makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Talk to our friend, Mr. Sam Cosmi, Commanders right guard. Sammy, what's up, dude? How are you?
Hey, what's up, JP? How we doing?
What up, Sam? How you doing, brother?
Doing good.
We're going to get to more fun stuff, but let's address Sunday's game. What was... What was that film session like yesterday? I know DQ calls it Tell the Truth Monday. I imagine that was some hard truths.
Yeah, I mean, you know, definitely didn't start off the game how we wanted to. You know, just really being critical of everybody's collective mistakes that led to, you know, the outcome that it came to. We dug ourselves in a hole. Tua was almost impossible to try to get out of it. So, you know, not a great day in that aspect, but, you know, obviously got to learn from those mistakes and try to get better, and move past that and get on ready for the next one. So, that was pretty much what we did yesterday.
Now, Sam, I always feel like the big guys run the football team. I know everybody want to buy the jerseys of the, you know, the skilled position player, but I believe I always call it the engine and the transmission. If that O-line and D-line are working, I think your football team's going to work. What's been conversation with you all, the offensive line, of how you can get things going again?
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing right now is we are the healthiest room in the building. Right now we're kind of telling them, hey, man, put it on our shoulders in whatever way that is. So we're gonna try our best and our damnedest to get this offense going. And obviously, you know, protect our guy Marcus back there and do what we need to do to get this offense rolling.
Early in that game, there was a call against Biadasz for a blindside block. And you guys had gotten the first down, you're moving the football, and then you get that penalty. I had a tough time with that call. I'm not trying to get you into trouble, but like, if you want to comment on the penalty, I understand if you don't want to. But what's it like when you go from first and 10 to first and 25? Like, how difficult does that make things early in a game like that?
I mean, very difficult. I mean, it's not a great way to start off a drive to already be in the negative. You know, when it comes to that penalty, it's such a bang bang penalty, you know.
Right.
I don't think it was initially intentional. I think he just.
It looked shoulder to shoulder to me.
Yeah, you know, he was just trying to get in the way. I mean, you could play at both sides of the ball. I'm always in the fairness of calls on both sides. I'm not going to be biased in calls, and I kind of like to, hey, you know, that's the right call, or hey, that's a BS call. You know, for the ref's perspective, he's just doing his job, and it's a quick play, and they see it based off of, you know, clips of, you know, something happens really quick. So from that perspective, I mean, the coaching point is just to probably just put your hands out, make it, you know, that much more visible to ref that, hey, I'm not trying to do that. So it's not going to be let. We always say don't let it in the ref's hands to make those decisions. So that's how I kind of view that. So,
and then the least fun part of the night. I mean, there were a number of injuries. Luke on the first snap, Lattimore, you know, later on in the game. But then when Jaden goes down, just what do you guys say to each other? I mean, I saw kind of the emotional response on the field. Everybody was there. What is that moment like?
I mean, it's got, like I said, in my post game interview, it was gut wrenching. I thought it was his leg at first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but it was his arm. I mean, that's just, it's not what you want to see from your cue. And, I mean, it just took everybody's breath out of, you know, just sucked right out. So, you know, from my perspective of the fans, I'm just happy it's not his throwing arm, mm-hmm. and I'm happy it's not a leg, and I'm happy it's just, you know, the other arm. Obviously, you don't want that to happen. So all I can do is just pray for like really fast recovery, and healthy recovery, and doing everything in our power to get him back. But you know, on the positive note, at least it's not saying that's gonna affect his ability to perform in the long run, if that makes sense.
No, so, yeah, totally.
You know, Sam, I've been out the game over 20-something years, but I still have a mindset like a player. And I know it was so many people like, we shouldn't have been in there, should have been there. Just for you and your own self, let people understand the mindset of a player. Once you're on the field, you're locked in. You don't ever think about, oh, I'm coming out the game, I want to be out there.
Oh, yeah, 100%. There's not, like, until they call your number and say, hey, you're done for today or what's going on, you're locked in. You're battling. Like, we always say, like, the guy across from you is trying to, quote-unquote, take your money. So, being able to be out there, and, you know, he's trying to hurt you and vice versa. So, you can't let up in any shape or form. So in our perspective, we got to be locked in. We got to be intentional. We're not trying to make mistakes. We're not trying to just be lazy or do anything like that. From my perspective, that's how I carry myself. So unless your number is taken out of the call and they're like, hey man, it is what it is. You know, we're going to take you out. Okay. I got you. Just not our day, or, you know, like I said, we're always in there trying to battle.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Talking with Commanders guard Sam Cosmi here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Today, I don't even know that you know this, but today is the NFL trade deadline. Is that even on your radar?
Not on my radar, but I know it is. I know it's the. I mean, I've been seeing a couple things that, you know, teams have been making trades. I knew it was a trade deadline. I think that's kind of just you know, on it, you know, a lot of people's minds today. So it's kind of hard to avoid. But I knew that. It's a very interesting day for sure. A lot of things happen.
With that in mind, like, what's it like? Like, you, I know you're not a big social media guy. You kind of stay off it. Do you kind of pay attention today? Just, you know, knowing who, like, I mean, because this time last year, you guys acquired Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah.
Maybe the situation is a little different, but as a player, do you pay attention for it?
Not really, no. Like right now, I'll be honest, I'm not really on social media much. If I do get anything, it's from a couple of my buddies sending a text or my dad. I'm really out of the loop on a lot of things. As you can see, when I didn't know Terry was going to be in the not going to be in the game, I think that's the best thing for me specifically to mentally prepare for a game and just focus on my opponent and not let outside distractions affect my emotions going into games. And like the thing I always say to myself is, if I can come in the building each and every day and try to make myself better, it's just going to make the team better, because the only thing I can really control is myself and my attitude. And so, yeah, I just don't really let social media dictate how my emotions are going to be. So I honestly really haven't paid attention much to it.
I think that's the best place for you to be. Let's talk about something more fun. You guys still do the lineman dinners just about every week regularly?
Yeah. We do them regularly. We haven't done them as much because of the prime time games.
True.
Just late and how it kind of, we're trying to get our bodies back. But for sure, we'll probably do one this week because we just have a regular week. And then we'll do some in Madrid for sure.
You got a lot of you guys live in the Ashburn area. Where are like some of your favorite spots to go?
So Clyde's is a regular for us. We tear that place up all the time. It's like it's an old like mansion that's turned into a restaurant. I don't know if you've ever been there. Yeah, I think they have another one.
There's a bunch of Clyde's, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you get?
Oh, dude, we get all the appetizers, like whatever appetizer you can think of. The wings there are great. The all the dips they have over there is great. I normally just go with a steak, some mashed potatoes, but their fried chicken rice bowl is fantastic. I'll get that order to the house some nights. Well, normally that's our good go-to, or a typical fat man fashion, we'll go to like Five Guys.
What's your go-to at Five Guys?
You know, JP gets the small burger at the Five Guys, and he can barely eat that.
Damn. I get a cheeseburger. There should be no shame.
He gets the little kid's burger. It's basically what he gets.
Honestly, that's what the guys do. There's a meta that they have when it comes to the – they normally go for three singles because they said that the ratios – this is true fat man talk right here. that the ratio from bun to patty to the condiments, everything is the way to go. I don't go that route. I normally go with, typically, I go with two double cheeseburgers. I normally maybe get a hot dog.
Ooh.
The dogs are pretty good, yeah. And then a regular fries and a drink, and that's normally my go-to.
The fries are good, dude. The fries, I love. You go vinegar on your fries.
I've never done that.
You should try it, dude.
It's good. It's horrible.
What do you think about Old Bay on the fries?
You know, I kind of like it traditional. I love the fact that I love being able to go there and seeing the ingredients being made, unlike like a McDonald's, you know?
Sure.
I like that they do it fresh. I like that the fries, you could taste that they're better ingredients. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit more expensive. That was me in college. I would never go to Five Guys because it was too expensive for the burger, in my personal opinion. But now I was just like, hey, you know,
I can afford it now.
I can afford it now, you know.
When I fly to DCA, it's a Five Guys right by the gates I normally fly out of. And I normally get on the plane with a Five Guys burger and some fries.
It's solid, man. It's a good burger.
Because you know that stuff burger. They sell you on the plane, you don't know how long that stuff been there.
100%.
What is the look of the person behind the counter when, I don't know how big the crew is, 7-8 of you, 7-8 incredibly large humans roll in to get burgers and fries?
Normally they say that they look back to the you know, the cooks back then and said, you know, we got a big crew coming in. But the normal thing is that you guys have to play football. I'm like, yeah, we do. You guys got to be the Commanders because it's right next to theirs. They know the park was right here. So we go right to the one closest to us. So they kind of know that we're regulars that come through. But yeah, it's normally a fun because like the people in there are just staring at us, you know, and then you have your Cajun fan, like person come up to you. He's like, I'm a big fan. So, you know, we always show love to fans if they see us in there.
Does
any fan ever try to pick up your tab?
No.
I hear all these fans talking about how big a fans y'all. No. Pick up that tab when you see them. Hell.
No, they're looking at us. They're like, they're good for it. you know, that's funny. That's a pretty big tab right there.
Yeah, I mean, at Five Guys, for you guys, I mean, you got to be talking $250, $300?
More than that, Jay.
Yeah. I mean, my order is about $40. You know, with the two burgers, fries, drink, and a hot dog.
What's your
five of us order stuff from Five Guys is over $100.
Right. That's true. I don't doubt that. What is your soda of choice? What do you drink at Five Guys?
You know, because they have like the little machines that do all the syrups.
Oh, you mix it up?
No. I don't mix it up. I'm not one of those guys.
Good. That's gross.
I'll go like, you know, like a vanilla Coke is something I'll change up when I get there. Something I normally don't do, but it's something like Coke or Dr. Pepper, something like that.
Sure.
It's good for you that JP says because a doctor made it.
He's from Texas. He's got to be a Dr. Pepper boy.
A doctor didn't make it, JP. It's just a name.
I'm sure that's a lot of people's philosophy right there.
Sam, one day I'll have to tell you about Dr. Pepper Clear. That's definitely good for you. You mentioned the fan encounters at Five Guys. I imagine at Clyde's you have like a reservation, right? And they probably put you guys in a room.
Yeah, they put up a like upstairs room that they have. You know, normally when we do go to Clyde's, we take the cues with us. So it's not just us, it's the quarterbacks as well. So
what is Jaden's order at Clyde's?
I don't know what Jaden's order is. He goes there and he's pretty chill and we crack a couple laughs. It's just kind of, you know, I don't know what his order is, honestly. I'm sure it's something like something. He doesn't look like he eats much, so something small, the kids meal, I don't know.
So when you guys do the Clyde's dinners, who calls ahead? Is it like Porter doing that, or is it like,
no,
I could see like Allegretti being kind of organized.
No, yeah, Nikki's normally, but it's actually Sam Hartman. Takes care of it. Yeah, Sam's the guy. So we got to put the pretty face up there, so you know they take care of us a little bit more.
Does Sam eat like quinoa and avocado and a grilled chicken breast?
Whatever he has to do. I just saw he put out that there's a like a little ad he put out or something like that, and of him like taking care of his body and stuff like that. I'm like, I could never do that. There's no way some company would come after me and tell me, hey, can you do this? I just don't have the body to do that. So Sam, I'm sure it's just like a nice filet or something like that. Some like a small filet or something, you know, and like you said, something, no carbs, nothing like that.
Definitely no carbs.
Right. Salad on the side.
What is like the weirdest fan interaction? So, I mean, you got 8 offensive linemen and 4 quarterbacks rolling in. There's got to be people that freak out.
No, so normally it's like straight shot. Like it's walk through the doors, go up the stairs. Like smart. It's, they do a good job there. So, and it's pretty, I mean, it's a massive place. It's huge. So we normally are able to get in and out pretty scot-free.
Okay. There you go.
That's cool.
How is, I know you guys are expecting what, next month?
Yeah, in about 6 weeks from now, yeah.
How's everybody holding up?
You know, they're doing great. Mama's great.
My little one, my little daughter, she's doing amazing. I don't think she knows what's about to happen, but we keep on trying to remind her, and she knows she likes going and my son's name's going to be Tate, his room. So we play in his room all the time, and we say, "Hey, Tate's about to come." And you know, I think she's really excited. She doesn't really know. She's almost two.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, my wife was just telling me today, he's like, "Listen, we, bye week comes around. We got to get everything going, everything wrapped up." I said, "That's what bye week's for." So don't worry, we'll get everything done. She's looking at me like, I'm not looking at the list. I'm like, golly, I haven't done nothing.
I'm sure you're excited for your bye week to be putting together cribs and whatever else is involved in getting things operational. Sam, thank you for making time for us, dude. We'll see you tomorrow. I will not be the first to bug you with a camera in your face, but should others do it, I will then join.
Yeah, of course. I know. It's all good.
You know the deal.
All right,
probably
going
to be Scott again. All right, guys.
Be cool, brother. Take care, man.
Thanks, dude.
All right, guys.
All Bye. Right. That's Sam Cosmi from the Commanders. You got to be able to these guys have lives too, man. Hopefully people understand that, right?
They do. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But people don't.
We still got folks on hold. I know.
People do not.
We still got folks on hold. I want to run through the Cooked Index because I have a tough question for the Cooked Index. Barstool Nate will join us at 1. Nobody go anywhere.
Our buddy Logan Paulson, my co-host on Take Command. You can check Logan out on Take Command. 3 episodes a week right after games, then a breakdown of the film a couple of days after the contest on Tuesdays, and then today, every Thursday, a preview pod. So we just dropped a new pod of Take Command today, looking ahead to the Lions game after Logan watched the tape. Logan, when you watch the Lions, what do you see compared to the past?
Yeah, man, I think I see a team that's obviously very talented, but I think offensively there are some cracks in the armor is probably putting it strongly, but I do think you see a team that's not quite as efficient. I think when you look at the interior of their offensive line specifically, they've got two young guards who I think are going to be great football players, but they're kind of going through a maturation developmental process. They're banged up. And again, like when you take some of that efficiency that they had last year with like two experienced guards, like an all-pro center, take that out, kind of cycle these new pieces in, the rushing efficiency decreases a little bit. And again, like they still hit their explosives runs, just not at the same frequency they did last year. They've been in more third and longs, more drop back passing opportunities for Jared Goff. And I think all of that kind of combines for, you know, just a group that's not quite as efficient to my eye when I watch the tape offensively as they were last year.
Looking for Washington's offense, what does the tape tell you? It feels like, you know, for the short term right now, it's like a pitcher tipping pitches in baseball. It seems like the defenses have had the answer king.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, with the offense, obviously, like not having your horses out there, specifically at wideout, are going to make things really, really challenging in terms of creating separation. And I think, you know, obviously, like there are ways around not having like top flight talent at the receiver position. And like historically, Cliff has used tempo, used kind of 4x1 overloads to create some of those advantageous looks for guys who have been less talented. But again, like you said, it seems like defenses have kind of keyed in on that with the man-to-man coverage element a little bit. And so I do think that, you know, I think Cliff's a really smart dude, and I think he'll kind of maybe bring some more to the party as the season goes on in terms of like bringing new guys along. I think that's the other thing that's hard to kind of negotiate here in terms of what they can and can't do is like they've got a lot of new pieces in the building. I mean, Treylon Burks is now on the 53-man roster, and he has been here for like, you know, 10 days or whatever it is, 14 days. So there's a lot of learning in the offense, a lot of development in the offense, a lot of people in new roles. And so like, I know people want to add diversity, but you're kind of bringing in new pieces at the same time. So I'm really curious to see what Cliff does. I think he's intellectually capable of doing it. I just wonder if the personnel and the newness of everything is kind of making some of that difficult.
How about Joe Witt, the embattled DC, who spoke to the media today, said, look, I got to be better. We got to be better. He's moving down to the sideline. I feel like this is a game where maybe he could dial up the heat. I'm not always a proponent of just saying blitz more. But Jahmyr Gibbs really struggles in pass pro. You mentioned that the issues on the interior of the line. One of the strengths for Washington defensively has kind of been up the middle, blitzing from the linebacking spot. Might this be a game where they could turn that heat up a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's a really great point, Grant, and something you brought up on the Take Command podcast, obviously, which is great. So, like, I think the thing about that is, everyone says we need to bring pressure. We need to kind of look at that Minnesota game plan as a roadmap. And I think Minnesota did a great job. I think the thing that concerns me is just like, what kind of coverage structures are you going to play behind it? You know, historically, Joe Witt Jr. has been a man coverage guy on the perimeter. But with Marshawn Lattimore out, and we're kind of moving some pieces around the secondary, how comfortable do we feel with those man coverages? Do we play some type of zone? Like, I think they did a great job against the LA Chargers, for example, bringing some of those internal pressures while playing zone coverages behind it, Tampa 2, 3 deep, 3 underneath, things like that. And so that's the question to me is, yes, I think you've identified the issue with this team, pass protection by the running backs, pass protection versus stunts and movement on the interior of the offensive line. It's just now, how do we make sure that we insulate ourselves versus the explosive play and make sure that the guys in the back end are communicating that effectively? I think that's the big one too, because I think that's been maybe like the biggest bugaboo this season of just like mental mistakes in the secondary. So how do we kind of make sure that we are bringing pressure, insulating them in the back end, and making sure those guys on the perimeter and at the safety spots know the rules versus different formations and different alignments?
Look at run game wise. I understand, you know, kind of to your point about man coverage, right? Where it's like one-on-one, these guys feel comfortable and it feels like there's some box stacking and the like, but I've been frankly pretty surprised that there hasn't been more real estate from a run game that was so brilliant at times last year and even early this year. You know, whether it's, you know, the quarterback fakes and some of the read option looks and different things, they just haven't really been able to get some consistency on the ground. What are you seeing there?
Well, I think the first thing you said there with the man coverage is something that is like, it affects literally everything in the offense. Like, look at the stuff, like the teams like Pittsburgh, Philadelphia in the first matchup, teams that were really able to kind of punch them in the mouth defensively. There are teams that played man coverage or heavy match coverage, press, take away your RPO, take away your screens, take away your quick game, and basically say, like, try to beat us down the football field. And I think you're seeing more people adopt that because, you know, last year, that's what Pittsburgh does. Obviously, Philadelphia has that really dynamic secondary last year. One of the best defenses that I've covered and that I've observed in my time covering the NFL. But I think that now, because our personnel is somewhat diminished, they can be more aggressive. So again, you mentioned the RPO, you mentioned the zone read. It really is helpful playing man coverage in those situations, especially press man. And then people say, like, well, what about stacking the box? It also allows you to stack the box, right? Because now I can make sure that I have someone for the tight end, I have someone for the F, I have someone for the H, I have someone for the quarterback. There's extra players in the front who, again, you can mess with their eye discipline a little bit with some of the play action pass stuff. But in terms of like fits downhill, people in the box, like, it makes it much more challenging to stop the run or to run the football, excuse me. So I think there are some things that they can do that are going to be challenging. And again, you got to kind of find the best runs, how to displace people, all those things, maybe using formation. That's something Cliff's always done a great job of. But I think the other thing that's important to note here when it comes to running the football, one of the reasons that they were so successful at running the football last year is they were able to get more attempts. They're playing with a lead. They're getting more first downs. They're getting more bites at the apple. And I think when you look at games where there's good game flow, you know, the LA Chargers, the New York Giants, the Las Vegas Raiders, and they're up and they're playing with like a lead for the most part, they get more touches. The backs get explosive runs. So I do think there's game flow issues here. There's schematic issues here. And so to me, like, the number one thing they need to do is just make sure you get first downs. Give us more opportunities to get the back touches and possess the football. And so hopefully that leads to points, and hopefully that leads to a fourth quarter where we can get those back as many touches as they need, kind of like Kansas City did versus Washington a couple weeks ago.
Logan, the story in The Athletic about you was great. Hopefully all of our listeners have read it. If you haven't, go check it out. Thanks for hopping aboard, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Thank you, buddy.
Be good. There's Logan Paulson. Of course, if you like the film analysis, the scheme insight, the deep dive X's and O's, information he provides, Take Command, wherever you get your audio, is a three-time-a-week podcast that he and I do. Although, don't listen to it between 2 and 6:30.
No, thank you.
Listen to this here radio program that helps your pals out just a little bit more.
I got this from Ben in Reston. Ben writes, more Steve Suter, please. Absolutely love him. Had never heard of him. And then he writes parenthetically, not a Maryland follower. How about more about him, Kevin? Yeah, I mean, again, Suter's one. Steve's one of the greatest punt returners in NCAA history. When he left Maryland in 2004, he owned every ACC record. Punt return for touchdowns, he had six in his career. Punt return yards, you know, punt return totals. NCAA, I think he's still like top three all time in career punt returns for touchdowns. He, you know, Steve's told me this story before, but he never had one fair catch of a football. And part of it was because Brian Mitchell was his guy. He was a big Skins fan back then. B. Mitch was his guy. He never fair caught a ball. I think the quote was, you know, I don't need to fair catch. If I can catch it and fall down 2 yards, that's 2 yards worth it for my team. He ran like a 4.3 40 in his workouts before the NFL draft. Washington brought him in for a tryout, but he had had four knee surgeries, and ultimately that cost him his shot at the NFL. He was in the CFL for a while, and then had injuries that ended his career. But he was super fast. I mean, lightning fast. They ran him on, you know, reverses and bubble screens. Ralph Frisian did in those early years. He was an absolute have to game plan for factor in every game he played. All right, so the second part of his film breakdown, specific to really Jaden only, I told him, I said, Kurt Warner did this film analysis. This is what he kind of said. Said that Jaden had kind of regressed, that he didn't see why, you know, he was so great last year, but this year he's not seeing it. He used like five plays from the Seattle game. And so Steve kind of responded with his own breakdown of Jaden's game Sunday night against the Seahawks.
Interesting. Interesting point. Now, I don't have context of watching Jaden all of last year, so I don't have tape to compare to say whether there is a regression, in my opinion, or not. I will say, from watching the Seattle game, maybe there's a handful of plays that maybe he could have performed better, but other than that, he just doesn't have the personnel, and the play calls are not there. I have three plays that maybe he could have delivered a football when he didn't, and that's it. And it starts on the first play. Let's jump. Look at the first play.
Okay, 14:55. Yep. Yeah,
first play of the game. So if you're telling me he's not reading this right, I could say, okay, maybe you're right. This is a pre-snap cover two, maybe two-man. That's how I would read it, right? He got press corners here, two deep safeties, clear cover two, unless they do something before the snap of the ball. They don't. So you do have a clear out route going at that far safety, and you have Debo running a corner in between, and you got a flat route. So you're flooding a cover two zone there with this play action. This is a good play call against this coverage. But I'll tell you what, Debo breaks his route at 8 yards. I know he shouldn't do that in cover two. He's got to get at least to 10. So you provide some type of separation from that corner and the flat route. Otherwise, the picture is going to be too tight for Jaden to see. So he's not getting to his depth. And then the guy, is that, who is that? That's
Lane?
Seven there. Oh, yeah. No, number seven. No, the DN, right?
Number DN's seven. Right, he's really, guy Nwosu, he's really good.
Yeah. So if you want to step up here, I mean, he's got to plant his foot in the ground, ignore this DN barreling down on him, and then maybe he can deliver this ball to Debo. That's a maybe. But it's going to have to be anticipating it. I just don't see the time to get that separation. By the time if he was going to throw this ball without getting sacked, I'm like clicking on my mouse right when he would have to throw it. And Debo's kind of open, kind of. The corner still hasn't made his mind up yet. If he's going to take the flat or he's going to sink on Debo. So that's a borderline play.
Warner's plays. This is one of his plays.
Yeah, I can't agree with that. If you're going to say this is a regression play when he's got a DN coming down in his face, I don't see regression here. So I would disagree with that.
And you say Debo runs the route too shallow?
I'm assuming he would. If this is a true, you're flooding this, you want a flat route, you want to high-low this corner. Okay, with Zach Ertz and Debo, you're getting what you want. You get cover two, you get Chris Moore running straight at the safety to keep him deep, and then you need to high-low the corner with Ertz and Debo. Well, they're not doing a great job of that because I think Debo breaks it short. But even if Debo goes to 10 yards, Now the DN's even closer to Jaden, so it's just not gonna work from a timing perspective.
Okay.
So I don't know what they thought pre-snap in their pre-game analysis, that they thought these DNs would be more aggressive on these play-action boots, but they weren't all game. They did it to the other side, and DeMarcus Lawrence plays it well. They slow play these things, and then they just attack Jalen. I don't see anything wrong with his play.
Okay.
He would have to anticipate, come right off the play fake, and turn and square up and have no boot at all. Like, no boot action. Just turn and square up. As soon as you do it, and sit in the pocket.
All right.
Maybe that's a fundamental flaw, that he's not supposed to be rolling out after the play fake, and he's supposed to be staying in the middle of the
corner. On the other one you showed, that was a true boot where you're always, you know, rolling rather than setting up, right?
I don't know. Kurt doesn't know that either. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not putting his blame on Jaden. Sure. Maybe he could have made that play, but that's not on Jaden.
So this was one of the three that you said, you know, is debatable as to whether or not he could have fired it. Okay.
So, and I'll say this too. Let's go to 12:55, right? His in the second quarter. Let's go to his pick. Let's go to his interception.
Yep.
So the stuff that I'm worried about here, it's not post-snap at all. It's pre-snap, because they set themselves up for failure here. I know it's 3rd and 17, but they're running all 17-yard routes. So they're anticipating, A, not to get pressure here, because you can't run a 17-yard curl with pressure, or they're identifying the pressure wrong in the beginning, which they do. They slide the line left here.
Yeah.
Pre-snap, they think pressure's coming from the left. So they mark 13 as the mic here. That's evident, which is Ernest Jones. But he doesn't blitz. He drops out. And so does DeMarcus Lawrence. They both drop. And the blitz actually comes up top from the corner. Now, pre-snap, I wouldn't think that corner up there is blitzing, who's pressing on lane either, because the safety behind him is pretty deep. And so that doesn't appear like a corner blitz pre-snap look. But do the Seahawks show this on tape? And they're not prepared for it? And they should have slid the line to the right instead of to the left? Because if they slide it right, they're picked up. And then they can run these 17-yard routes. But Seattle drops into a zone blitz, cover 4. They got everything covered, and you don't have any time to run 17-yard curl routes unless you think you're picking up the protection. So this is a pre-snap issue. So I'm not sure if Jaden's responsible for calling the mic here, and he's the one that plants the protection, or it's Biotic, because sometimes the centers do it. But they can't win this play. This play is toast. This should be max protection if you're running these deeper routes, and you got to get the protection right. You got to call it right, but they don't. So yeah, there's no chance for this. Now Jaden's trying to throw this ball away. He's not trying to complete this curl to a corner that's already running the curl route 4 lane.
Right.
He just can't get enough into it, and the guy makes the pick. But that was set up from the beginning. Like, you lost the play before the play started. Now, is that on Jaden? I don't know. I got to be in the huddle. I got to understand the protection that they're calling, that Kingsbury's calling in, and who's responsible for pointing to the mic and that sort of thing. So that's a tough one. That's a good play by Seattle, right? It's a good disguise. You wouldn't think that corner on top is blitzing, and he does. So you get caught off guard. So Jaden's toast here. I mean, he has nothing. There is no outlet. There is no hot route. There's no sight adjust. And that also makes me think that they didn't anticipate blitz here. Maybe Seattle shows a tendency on 3rd and long that they drop, maybe only rush 3 and drop 7. Maybe
right.
That's what they do. And they tricked him here. So he calls the plays and throw the dice that we're not going to get pressure. We're only going to get a 3-man rush. And I'm going to have a chance to maybe complete a 15-yard comeback. But they get fooled. So that's either starts from the coaching play call. He's looking at his sheet. He's saying, oh, look at this. 3rd and 15 plus, Seattle 23% of the time only rushes 3 or whatever his number is. And then he's got a play call for it. So he dials it up, calls it in, and he gets tricked. That's where I would start. And if the play comes in and where it's an option and Jaden has it, maybe King says, hey, alert pressure here from whichever side, and they don't call the right side, then that's on Jaden or that's on Biotic. Go to 7:54. This is the third down to Ertz. So now look, my first note of this is Washington could never run this defense. That was my first note in my notes. From a secondary perspective, the communication of Seattle is perfect. Okay, so now Debo comes in motion. Now, do you watch the corners? They don't even talk to each other here when Debo comes in motion. They already know how their responsibility changed. And now what they're going to do is they're playing four over three. Okay, so you're going to get a safety, you're going to get these two corners, and you're going to get the linebacker is going to come over and wall them off too. So it's four Seattle defenders that are going to cover three Washington guys. But Seattle doesn't communicate after the motion. They communicate 3 yards into the play, okay? 3 yards into the play, you see Devin Witherspoon, 21. He's yelling over to the safety, and I can't determine who it is, telling him, you're getting Debo. He already sees Zach Ertz's out route, and that's the pass off. So not only did they not communicate in the beginning because they knew what they were doing, then during the route, they're able to successfully pass off two receivers, and it's Witherspoon's breaks on Ertz to stop him to get the first down. So I dinged Jaden a little bit here, but I can understand how you can't read this. You got four over three. There's so many ways that Seattle could play this. They could play a hard corner here that would kill Ertz. They could play the banjo like they're doing now. They could play straight man coverage and not switch. So Jaden needs to read this on the fly, which is extremely hard to do because, again, they got four over three, and they can mix this up. So what they do is they end up giving up the Ertz 4 or 5 yard out, and Jaden's called a quarter of a second late in delivering it. If he's a quarter second faster, Ertz has it in his hands, and he can probably
take
that contact and get a yard up and get the first down.
Yep.
I mean, that's a tough play to read, dude. And Seattle's playing it perfect. Communication's perfect. They pass off the guys perfect. Witherspoon's really aggressive once he knows his guy's picking up Debo to break on this football. And all right, big deal. In their head, they want to get off the field for sure, but if they give up the 5 yard out, they give up the 5 yard out, and they didn't give up a blown coverage Debo 30 yard corner route. So good job by them. Now go 11:44.
Okay.
11:44, third quarter. And so this is the other. This is the one where I wrote down, and in my notes it says, I'm worried now that this stuff is getting to his head because he has Lane here early. This is pitch and catch. And Seattle's been showing this. I think we already touched on it. Cover four, cover two shell pre-snap, and then roll into cover three. They do the same thing here. Well, if you roll to cover three, your corners aren't responsible for the flats. That's coming from inside the box, the linebackers. So he has Lane right away. You just take it. 5 yard out, you're second and six, you're going to get the first down. That should be catch, hit, and throw. As soon as he sees that safety on his left come downhill, or it doesn't look like he's looking at it, and even like pump fakes it.
Yeah.
So that.
What is he pump faking for? He pumps it to Jalen Lane, yeah. Doesn't throw it.
And then I think he thinks it's going to open Debo back up. Or he's pumping to Ertz. He's either pumping to Ertz or he's pumping to Lane. And I think he thinks he's moving the middle linebacker there, Tyrese Knight. And then he's going to snap back and hit Debo, which he still could have. So I dinged him on this because you either take Lane right away and get the first down, or if your mentality was to maneuver that middle linebacker Knight off his line so you can come back to Debo, then come back to Debo. And he doesn't do either. And then he ends up having to scramble. So this was the play. So now you've gone two and a half quarters of nobody being open. Your play's not working, and you have to scramble. You don't trust anything that's going on. And then this is where it piles up to this play right here where I go, oh, no. He might be in trouble mentally in the pocket.
Yeah, so good stuff from Steve. And there was so much more. And I'll just give you one sort of hint if you want to go listen to the rest of it on the podcast. There's no doubt that he had a big problem with the game plan and the readiness of them offensively. He already expects it defensively, week in and week out, that they're going to be mismatched and perhaps even outwitted. No pun intended. But he definitely had an issue with the scheme and the play calling and the readiness for what Seattle presented, pointing a big finger at Kingsbury for that particular night. I thought you guys would want to hear some of that. All right, when we come back, speaking of Kingsbury, he has spoken, Joe Witt Jr. has spoken. You're going to hear some of that when we return. Kevin Sheehan, show the Team 980 and the Team 980.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.